been proven.
The president calling the investigation into possible Russian meddling in the election a Democratic hoax and a scam. The president not ruling out a pardon for his former national security advisor. When he was asked about that by reporters, he said he didn't want to talk about pardons for Michael Flynn yet, adding, "We'll see what happens." North Korea issues a threat to the U.S. over naval activities.
In reaction to speculation that the United States could set up a naval maritime blockade of North Korea, the KCNA news agency said the gang of Trump is driving the situation on the Korean Peninsula more and more close to the brink of war.
That's Bill Zimfer. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, it's Angie with Daybreak USA. Holiday entertaining. If those two words stress you out, they don't need to. Here to help is entertaining expert and cookbook author Brooke Parkhurst. Welcome back, Brooke.
Hi, Angie. Thanks for having me again.
You're welcome. All right, so where do we start? Because so many of us do get stressed out, during the holidays.
Yeah, I mean, you want the perfect gift, but, you know, how hard is that? And it takes so much time. This year, I'm doing the easiest and best thing. I'm grabbing a stack of vanilla gift cards. This gives, you know, my family and friends who receive them the flexibility and the convenience to buy whatever they want wherever Visa and MasterCard are accepted. So that's a great, great gift option this holiday season.
Oh, I love that. All right, where do we go for more info?
Yeah, for all my tips, tricks, and recipes, you guys can go to betterstufforlife.com.
Wonderful. Thanks, Brooke.
Thanks, Angie. Happy holidays.
You too.
High winds making it difficult for firefighters to contain the massive Thomas Fire still burning near Los Angeles. It's only 35% contained. Yesterday, a San Diego firefighter lost his life battling it. Corey Iverson was killed near Fillmore. The FCC repeals net neutrality rules, and it could now face some lawsuits because of that.
And it means that internet service providers have yet another way to put corporate profits over consumers.
New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, a Democrat, saying he's going to file a lawsuit to try to roll back the rollback of net neutrality rules.
This new rule would enable ISPs to charge consumers more to get access to social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter.
FCC Chairman Ajit Pai mocked net neutrality supporters yesterday, saying that this change doesn't mean the sky is falling and the internet will stay open. A good time to remind you, we're online at usaradio.com.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root with a confession to make. I wear my blue blocker sunglasses everywhere. How good are blue blockers? First, America's astronauts using the same formula wore them in outer space. And over 20 million pairs have been sold throughout the world. 20 million! Blue blockers provide the best eye protection you can own. And you can't even break the lens with a hammer. Here's a great holiday offer. Call toll-free now to order one pair for $29.95 or two pairs for $39.95 plus shipping. The perfect Christmas gifts. Just call toll-free 800-722-7777. That's 800-722-7777.
Today's the last day to sign up for health insurance through the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, although a number of the state exchanges are extending their enrollment periods for a few more days. A New York woman's being held without bail after she's charged with trying to send money to ISIS fighters using bitcoins. Here's Scott Pringle.
Authorities allege Zubia Shanaz tricked banks on Long Island into giving her tens of thousands of dollars worth of loans. She then converted that money into bitcoins and then tried sending it to ISIS fighters in Syria. But the Brentwood woman's attorney, Stephen Zissou, says this money was intended for refugees.
She worked at a hospital in some war-torn areas, and what she saw made her devoted to lessening the suffering of a lot of the Syrian refugees.
Shanaz pleaded not guilty yesterday to several charges.
Congressional Republicans are to release their final tax bill later today. House and Senate Republicans have been working to merge the two tax plans that have passed both chambers of Congress. President Trump is adamant about signing a tax measure before Christmas. Hip-hop mogul Russell Simmons now being investigated by New York police after nine women have accused him of sexual misconduct, several of those women accusing him of rape. And Kensington Palace has tweeted that Prince Harry and his girlfriend Meghan Markle will marry on May 19th of this upcoming year. Markle's the American known for her role as an actress in the TV series Suits. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. On today's show, I'm going to be talking about Just Getting Started, I, Tonya, Wonder Wheel, and Darkest Hour. I'm also going to be talking about some news, the trailer park, an interview with Ron Shelton, the director of Just Getting Started, the box office, and, of course, the home cinema roundup featuring the Irving Berlin classic, Holiday Inn. But first, if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can find me on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com or facebook.com/fatguysatthemovies, or you can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Finally, we have a week where there has not been a crazy explosion of sex activity and misconduct in Hollywood. Although there's a couple stories floating around out there, but we've covered so many of them. Let's talk about something different, something a little more uplifting. The Critics' Choice Movie Award nominations have come out this week. I am a voting member of that. Some of these that I actually nominated got some major nominations, which is always kind of rare. It's always hit or miss because I have tastes that don't always jive with the other critics out there. So it was kind of neat to see this list come out, and a good chunk of them are ones that I actually agree with. In fact, The Shape of Water has currently 14 nominations, which include Best Picture, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress, and Best Director, and that's a great movie. I'll talk more about that one next week. Other big nomination hauls include Lady Bird, which is a great movie, The Post, which is a great movie, and Call Me By Your Name and Dunkirk, also getting 8 nominations. I'm not a big fan of either of those movies. Again, I'll talk more about Call Me By Your Name, I believe, next week. But I'm pretty happy with the nominations. I mean, there was a bunch of technical awards for Blade Runner 2049, which we all expected, and it completely deserves. So it's actually a nice list. Now, if you want to find the full list, you can go to my Twitter page or Facebook page, and I link those out there so you can get a breakdown of them. But if you want to watch the Critics' Choice Movie Awards, you can watch that on Thursday, January 8th at 8 p.m. Eastern on the CW. So we'll see if anything that I actually like wins anything. You know, hopefully Dunkirk doesn't walk away with all this stuff, or Call Me By Your Name, although that one's probably going to win a bunch. Anyways, let's talk about the next piece of news. Quentin Tarantino is interested in doing Star Trek, and this has been swirling around, and I even had a friend at one of the station affiliates who was emailing me, what do you think about this? And I go, I'll believe it when they're actually on set, and I wouldn't say film rolling through the camera, although it is Quentin Tarantino, and he'll probably want to shoot on film. I don't necessarily believe that this is going to come to fruition. I feel that this is going to be like Edgar Wright's Ant-Man movie that gets a lot of buzz, a lot of news, and then when they finally figure out, I mean, I think in script stage, Paramount's going to be flexing its muscles and dictating what should and shouldn't happen, mainly because it's one of their biggest franchises. It's a successful franchise. And also because they've got a brand new TV series, Star Trek Discovery, that Paramount is really getting behind, and even though I didn't watch it because of some broadcast issues, it certainly seems that Paramount is throwing behind this new series. And when you bring it in like Quentin Tarantino, he's a very, I mean, I like his stuff. Most of his stuff I actually tend to enjoy. But you're bringing in somebody who's very highly stylized and very particular on how he likes to shoot things. I really don't think that this is going to, I mean, he's talking about doing it as an R-rated movie, and that's fine. You know, after the success of Deadpool and Logan, they're saying, okay, yeah, let's do these franchise movies as R-rated. But you know, Star Trek, I mean, you're still going to have the suits in there saying, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, let's do this, change this. And I just don't think Quentin Tarantino is going to take it. So this will get abandoned in script stage, or it'll just languish there. I remember, what, The Hateful Eight was like 10 years in the making before he ended up even getting that film to come out last year. And so I really don't have any sort of faith at all that Quentin Tarantino's going to be shooting a Star Trek movie, let alone a finishing one. A couple other pieces of news in terms of franchise films. Matt Reeves is going to be recasting Ben Affleck as Batman in his standalone film. I think that's a bad move because I think Ben Affleck is one of the better Batmans we've had. But, you know, when has DC ever listened to me? The idea of going to a younger guy, if you want to reboot it, you want to take it as a younger one, just please don't do an origin story. But I think that's not a terrible idea. And, in fact, I'd be all for having different people playing Batman. I wouldn't mind having Ben Affleck come back and doing the Justice League. It's like reading the comic books where a different artist would draw him differently, and you kind of had different storylines going on. I'd say open it up. It doesn't all have to take place in this little box. But in terms of the DC universe, I was reading an article the other day where it's like, oh, Justice League isn't a moneymaker. And the people are just so dying to hate on Justice League, and they have been for years. And the reality is, it's not a flop. It's not a cash cow. I mean, it's not like Avengers making $1 billion. And it's on the low end, certainly, of the DC universe. But let's not start having a bake sale for Warner Brothers so they can cover the production costs of Justice League. It's not going to end up in the red, but it's also not going to make a ton of money. It's not going to be something that brings in a ton of cash for Warner Brothers, but it's still going to cover the books. Now, they may report it as a loss, and that's what they do sometimes. They sometimes hide their losses in big movies that have just a huge balance sheet, but that was done with the Harry Potter film, so that's nothing new. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That sound means it's time to roll into the trailer park. The first one is Thoroughbreds. It's a sort of a dark comedy. It opens on March 9th.
I don't have any feelings, ever. And that doesn't necessarily make me a bad person. It just means I have to work a little harder to be good.
You hate him. You despise him.
Honey, you can't go in looking like that.
I'm fine. I'm not going to have to stand here all day like a robot repeating myself. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine.
You ever think about just killing him?
How would you?
I think this is an interesting idea just because I'm sort of fascinated with psychopathy where people don't have human emotions. And I'm not talking about it in sort of like this Asperger's syndrome spectrum sort of way. I'm talking about somebody who like is a psychopath who, but also is still trying to be a decent person. I find that to be a fascinating realm to play around in. This could be an interesting movie in terms of looking at morals and ethics and the way the world works, whether or not you have emotions. The next one I want to talk about is, of course, the one that everyone was talking about this week, and that is Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. It opens on June 22nd.
A rescue op saved the dinosaurs from an island that's about to explode. What could go wrong?
These creatures were here before us. And if we're not careful, they're going to be here after. Life cannot be contained.
First of all, this trailer dropped, and before it, they did all these like 15-second teases, and I'm pretty sure if you edited together the 15-second teases, you got most of the trailer already. So it was, you know, dropped on Thursday night, but everyone kind of had the full trailer in bits and pieces since like Monday or something. The other thing I have to note is this doesn't exactly excite me. I am kind of cold on this trailer. It's not that I'm not wanting to see the movie. I still am curious to see where they go. I was of the mind where I thought Jurassic World was a perfectly fine movie, but a utter shocker that it made as much money or as big of a splash as it did because I wasn't expecting it to. But still, overall, I mean, you're going to have dinosaurs. You're going to have people running around. It looks like he's got some great special effects. It just looks really, and I'm saying this, and this is a complaint people do is it looks dark. It looks like dim. It looks like everything's shot in cloud cover. And that's supposed to be because they're on this island with a volcano. But part of the thing I did like about Jurassic World, I wouldn't call it the original, but you know, the reboot, is that it was vibrant and colorful. And now this looks like everything's just under a glaze. You see that a lot in sequels. They try and go dark. They try and get gritty and realistic. You saw that in The Lost World, which was the first Jurassic Park sequel. So I don't know. I'm still going to see it. I'm still interested in seeing it. I'm curious to see whether they can replicate the surprise success of Jurassic World with a $200 million opening next summer. That is it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about I, Tonya and Wonder Wheel.
You think that you're rescuing them, but honestly, they're going to end up rescuing you. You don't know what they've gone through, and they're not going to be perfect. And they are so happy that you are taking a chance on them to be a part of your family. I urge you to go down to your local shelters, pounds, dog rescues, foundations, you name it, and rescue a dog. Once you get your rescue dog, you should definitely order some DinoVite. Go online and order it. DinoVite.com. DinoVite. It's awesome stuff. 90 days of DinoVite will make your dog a happy dog. It will help them with their overall health. You don't need to spend thousands on vet bills. DinoVite is the best thing that's ever happened to my dogs, you know, besides me, of course. Call 859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DinoVite.com.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. According to a Bank of America survey, traveling more is one of the top New Year's resolutions for Americans in 2018. Jason Gaughan, Bank of America executive.
You may not realize it, but holiday spending can help jumpstart your 2018 travel. According to Bank of America's debit and credit card data, the average consumer spent $1,000 in total retail purchases last holiday season. This year, turn your gifting into your next dream trip by using our travel rewards card to rack up points. The Bank of America Travel Rewards credit card lets you earn 1.5 points on every dollar spent on purchases, which can be redeemed toward travel, meaning points earned for a watch for Dad in December can be redeemed toward a hotel purchase you make in the spring. Best of all, there are no blackout dates and points don't expire, so you can start your New Year's resolution anytime.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/travelconnected.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. Please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll.
The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's jump right into the movie reviews. The first one is going to be I, Tonya, and I'm going a little early on this one. This has just got its qualifying release this weekend. So most likely, if you're hearing this review, you can't just run out to the theater and see it. But probably next week, it's going to be rolling out. And the fact that it's getting some award nominations for Margot Robbie as Tonya Harding, I think is going to help its distribution levels in the next coming weeks. But I want to get this here because it's just going to get lost in the sea of reviews over the next couple weeks because we have 186 movies opening between now and Christmas, which is like 2 weeks away. So let's talk about I, Tonya. This biopic looks back at the media frenzy surrounding Tonya Harding and the scandal of the 1992 Winter Olympics.
America. They want someone to love. But they want someone to hate. And the haters always say, Tonya, tell the truth. There's no such thing as truth. I mean, it's bullshit.
I am now at the age where they're making historical movies. They're making period pieces about stuff not just that I lived through, but that I was like an adult during. And I'm not talking about like when they were making Iraq war films like 5 or 6 years ago, and those were just less than 10 years ago kind of movies. I'm talking about like this is a bona fide period piece with costume design and reeking of 90s clothing. And it's interesting to look back because, you know, it's one thing to watch a movie that you lived through the subject matter when you were like a kid, like Watergate movies that are coming out now. I was like in diapers when Watergate was going on. So I remember the 70s, but not, you know, like the Battle of Sexes, same thing. I was a little kid during that. And I remember the 70s, but not as an adult, because I was an adult in the 70s. I was an adult in the 90s. And I remember the media frenzy. Well, the movie's interesting. And Margot Robbie does a fine performance as Tonya Harding. It's a bit of a stretch because she's just, I mean, inherently gorgeous. There's not anything you could do to Margot Robbie except for put her in a Hobbit mask to not make her unimaginably gorgeous. Even in her most dulled down look, she's still gorgeous. That's just the way Margot Robbie is. There is a little bit of a disconnect because she doesn't look like Tonya Harding. Tonya Harding is a very different shape to her. She's not like a gorgeous model. She's sort of cute and one of the things with Tonya Harding, and they address this, is she sort of comes from the lower economy. She's a bit, and I use this term with all the love that goes along with it, knowing that there's plenty of people that I know and are in my life who could possibly fit into this category, but kind of white trashy is how a lot of people, she's always appeared. And you don't think of Margot Robbie as kind of fitting that, you know, middle American white trash look. But she tries her hardest, and she does a good job acting. I think she's actually the driving force behind this movie. But the thing that, as interesting as her performance is, and as significant as her performance is, I think the thing that I find more interesting is how it looks back on the way the media was, and how tabloid television was really getting its claws in there. We had stuff like Inside Edition and Current Affair that had started showing up in the 80s and had sort of hit that frenzy of the 90s. That's before cable really diversified, before you had internet and like stuff like Netflix. You had a lot of also these TV talk shows, like Jerry Springer, of course, led the pack. The daytime talk shows where people just like to watch people torpedo their lives. And that's what this was. This was a real-life tabloid TV explosion that happened in the 90s, and we got to watch it all happen. And you can see where everybody wants the arc of the story. They want the bad guy, which was Tonya Harding and Jeff Galooly and the people involved, and you wanted the good guy, which was Nancy Kerrigan. But then we find out that Nancy Kerrigan is kind of has her own issues, and you know, the tabloid media loves to build somebody up and take them down. And that's essentially what goes on in this, but forgetting that there are real people behind this. So I think that that's – overall, it does kind of follow the same sort of biopic lines. It punches the same holes and pushes those same buttons that we've seen before. But overall, it's an entertaining movie to watch, if not for anything else than just to watch sort of a snapshot of the past from 25 years ago and to watch Margot Robbie do a pretty good performance. So I'm going to have to say I, Tonya kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk about Wonder Wheel. Woody Allen directs this film about a wayward daughter who comes back to Coney Island in the 1950s after marrying a mobster, only to vie for the affections of a lifeguard with her stepmother.
Excuse me? Do you know if Jenny's here?
I'm Jenny.
I'm Pumpty's daughter. Here's his wife.
Is he gonna be surprised?
I'm marked. They're gonna kill me.
That's what you get when you marry a gangster. I gotta have a drink.
No, Humpty, you've been good.
Damn it!
When you're married to a man who got rich putting people's feet in cement, you probably never had to do a dish. You know she's a marked woman.
Should she move on? I know where all the bodies are buried.
This is a little bit atypical of Woody Allen simply because of the cinematography. Though that's honestly the one reason to see the movie is the vibrant, colorful cinematography. It glorifies Coney Island in the 50s. Now, I did not grow up in New York. I've never been to Coney Island. But I've, you know, heard the stories. And if you talk to a lot of people who were especially young in the 1950s, that was the heyday of Coney Island. And he looks at it with these rose-colored spectacles. And this is such a love letter to Coney Island. It's him doing what he was doing for so many years in terms of Woody Allen, falling in love with a city or a location. I mean, he did that with Midnight in Paris. He did that with Vicky Cristina Barcelona. You know, he even did that with Match Point to a degree of falling in love with London. He sort of did his European travelogue, and I think he did Spain and Magic in the Moonlight. And now he's back to doing American stuff. And he's back to do this one takes place in Coney Island where he grew up and he has a lot of love for. And there's even little nods to Annie Hall where you've got the roller coaster. It's not that they live under the roller coaster like in Annie Hall, but it's a very colorful Woody Allen movie. And you normally don't get that. Normally his stuff's very muted. And but that's, I think, the influence of his European work. Really, the palette of the film is the reason to see it. I mean, Kate Winslet stars as the stepmom, and she's good. I mean, she's fine, but, I mean, the story's very forgettable. There's a certain type of Woody Allen screwball comedy that you'd see in Annie Hall, which it's not for everybody, but he does work he worked in comedy. That's where he got his start. If you watch a movie like Take the Money and Run, something like that, that's a little more broad comedy. He'd left that behind, and here, I mean, he kind of, it's almost like he can't decide whether he wants this to be a lighthearted comedic film, and he never quite commits to that in any scene. And I think it's him trying to do drama that wants to be comedy, but the movie does just unravel once you get to, like, the third act. It just boom, opens up like a parachute. And honestly, gun to my head, I couldn't tell you how it ended. That's how unimpressed I was with, like, the last third of the film. I was watching it, and it kind of had my attention, and it was neat to see, and it has good actors. I mean, you know, Justin Timberlake's in it. I like Justin Timberlake. I think he's an underrated actor. So it had these good actors, but then it just kind of fell apart. So this one's nothing to write home about. Look at the pictures. It looks pretty. But that's about it. Wonder Wheel kind of sucks.
It kind of sucks.
Wait a second. I don't like the sound of that.
That's it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about Just Getting Started and Darkest Hour.
This report is brought to you by Novartis Pharmaceuticals Corporation. Immune thrombocytopenia, also known as ITP, is a condition in which a person's immune system mistakenly attacks healthy blood cells, called platelets. When platelets are low, people may experience bruising or bleeding. A spontaneous nosebleed that wouldn't stop is what led Jim to the doctor. As Jim would learn, diagnosing ITP wasn't so easy. Despite finally getting a diagnosis, Jim cycled through multiple kinds of treatments before trying a medicine that stabilized his platelet count and worked for his lifestyle. Jim explains his experience.
I remember being hooked up to an IV, getting chemotherapy, and I thought to myself, wait, I don't have cancer, so why am I hooked up? I realized I had to take the reins and keep asking questions. I kept working with my doctor to find a treatment plan that worked for me, and I told myself then, I'm not going to lose a day in my life to ITP.
For more information on ITP, visit myitplife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The President of the United States has your back 100%.
President Trump saying that's his message to all law enforcement officers in America as he spoke at the FBI Academy's graduation ceremony at Quantico, Virginia today, also discussing the need for immigration reform.
We want a system that puts the needs of American families, taxpayers, and security first.
Those who need health care coverage or who want to change their coverage have been rushing to sign up for Obamacare ahead of today's open enrollment deadline. Mark Mayfield has more.
More than 1 million people chose insurance through the Federal Healthcare Exchange last week. Some states that run their own exchanges have extended the enrollment period.
No extension for AOL's Instant Messenger, AIM as it's been called, is shutting down today after 20 years. This is USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Sprint. Celebrating holidays and the new year, Sprint and Prince Royce are launching the Live Unlimited The Dreams Academy contest. Interested musicians and bands can upload a video showcasing their talents for a chance to win money and mentorship by Royce, helping turn dreams into reality. Entries must be in by December 31st. Supporters can vote for their favorite aspiring artists starting January 2nd. Prince Royce, award-winning artist and Sprint ambassador.
What's up, guys? It's Prince Royce. My friends at Sprint and I are excited to bring you the Live Unlimited Dreams Academy contest. The winner will receive $10,000 plus an in-person mentoring session with me. Make sure to enter and vote at sprint.com/dreams and share on social media using hashtags Live Unlimited and contest.
Enter at sprint.com/dreams now. No purchase necessary. Must be 18. Ends at 11:59:59 p.m. Eastern Time on December 31st, 2017. See contest official rules for details, including specifics on eligibility and entry requirements needed to qualify. Void where prohibited.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Going to roll into the movie reviews, continue with them. Let's talk about Just Getting Started. Morgan Freeman and Tommy Lee Jones play men trying to be the top dog at an old folks' home in Palm Springs.
I'm Duke Diver, resident manager of this resort community.
Music! He's a resident champion of everything around here.
There's new food on the buffet.
What the? 20 minutes, he's got them lined up for a three-way.
Four-way if anybody's counting.
See, you move to Phillips Street just to piss me off.
No, that was just a happy byproduct.
You and I, just getting started.
This is the only brand new wide release of the week. We had The Disaster Artist, which I talked about last week. But The Disaster Artist finally went wide this week. So a lot of people are seeing that now. Go see that. That's a great movie. But go see The Room first. Now, Just Getting Started is the only completely new. Hasn't been in theaters yet. And it's directed by Ron Shelton. And he's best known for movies like Bull Durham. He does a lot of sports movies. He did Bull Durham. He did Tin Cup. And he did Cobb, which is the story of Ty Cobb. Not Donald Trump's lawyer, but the baseball player. He's done a whole bunch. He did boxing. He's done golf. He's done baseball. He's a former baseball player. And this is a departure from the sports world. So it's not his sports movies. And that's okay, because he's done movies that aren't sports films before. This is, the best way I can describe it is it's a movie for an older generation. Not that you can't understand it and enjoy it. I mean, I'm 46 and I watch, and I had some laughs during it. And it's certainly enjoyable watching the actors. I mean, Morgan Freeman, he's great in everything. Even in terrible movies, he's really good in. And Tommy Lee Jones is interesting to watch and fun to watch. It does remind me a little bit of the movie Hope Springs. Very different content, but the movie Hope Springs starred Tommy Lee Jones and Meryl Streep, and they were going to a sex therapy getaway. It reminds me of that because that movie was a perfectly well-done movie and very good performances by everybody involved, but certainly not for my generation. It was about a couple who were in their 60s or 70s and sort of having to deal with rekindling their relationship. And this one feels similar. Now, I'm going to be talking to Ron Shelton later in the show, so we'll get an interview from his perspective of making this film. But one of the things he did tell me is this is the kind of place you go to party, not to retire. And I thought that was an interesting way of looking at it. And apparently these places do exist where, you know, there's old folks homes that are the traditional old folks home. I mean, my grandmother was in one, and you go to these one and they're very typical, you know, that they've got old people there and they're just kind of wandering around. They're playing bingo and, you know, eating soup at lunch. You know, what you'd expect for an old folks home, you know, a nice old folks home. But apparently there are these retirement homes that are kind of a big party that these people have reached the age in their life where they don't care. And maybe they're no longer with their partner because they're widowed or whatever. So they're maybe sowing their wild oats a little bit later in life. So it's an interesting look at these locations. And like I said, they do exist. It's also an interesting movie because it's a Christmas movie. It takes place at Christmas and it has all the Christmas decorations, and they have like a nativity scene at this place with real camels and stuff. The whole point of the movie is here it is in this very warm climate, yet you have all this Christmas decorations. And you know, I'm from Ohio, so to me, Christmas decorations mean cold weather. But if you live in the South or you live in, you know, a place like Florida or California, yeah, warm weather is going to be normal for seeing Christmas decorations. I remember I honeymooned in Hawaii, and it was really interesting to go to this open-air hotel lobby, and you see all these Christmas decorations and icicle lights, and there's no icicles in Hawaii in December or any time, really. But that's just the way it is. If you've grown up in the tropics or in the warm climate, that's what it looks like. So it's not necessarily speaking to me, but I found the interesting. It's either going to be a juxtaposition for you, or it's going to be the way you remember it, that you don't always see it portrayed in the movies. Overall, just getting started, it has some weak writing moments, and it's not a completely cohesive script. It kind of has two different things. There's the sort of trying to be the coolest guy in the club, which is the bulk of the movie and actually the more entertaining part of it. And then there's you're on the run from the mob and they're trying to kill you. And that just is kind of like seems a bit thrown in as a story element. But overall, it's just kind of fun to watch Morgan Freeman and Tommy Lee Jones share the screen. And I felt that way about Going in Style. It came out earlier this year. It was just neat watching him with some great actors. So, like I said, this is going to be more for the senior citizens, but you know, it's good for a couple laughs. It's a nice little whimsical movie to check out the weekend before Star Wars opens, when that's going to just run roughshod over everything. So I'm going to have to say, Just Getting Started kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk about Darkest Hour, not The Darkest Hour. There's a huge difference. What's funny is these both have come out at Christmas. The Darkest Hour was that movie that took place in Russia, and it was about these two girls who were visiting Russia, and aliens, invisible aliens, invaded, and they're aliens that will make people just disintegrate. That was a terrible movie. It looked interesting because it was in 3D, but it was a terrible movie. I actually paid to go see that one. Now, Darkest Hour is totally different. Gary Oldman stars as the controversial British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, showing how he led the country through World War II.
Mr. Winston Churchill,
you have an enormous task ahead of you.
Winston lacks judgment.
He's a bully.
We may have to replace him.
You ask, what is our policy? I say it is to wage war by sea, land, and air with all our might. We shall never surrender!
The biggest thing to point out in Darkest Hour is Gary Oldman's performance. This is one of those chameleon performances. And Gary Oldman's a fantastic actor. And you know, even if you don't like all the movies he's in, he does something different with each role. And he can play over the top and zany. He can play very reserved. He is one of the greatest actors working right now. And he becomes Winston Churchill. It's so tough to see him in the role. he disappears in it. And yeah, there's makeup and there's, but it's not just him wearing old man makeup or anything like that. It's to the point that as you're watching it, you at times forget that it's Gary Oldman. Now, I was not alive when Winston Churchill obviously was knocking around the planet, but I mean, it's an incredible transformation. I mean, this is the one role that's like, this is the forerunner for best actor at the Oscars, at everything else. And while there's still some great performances out there, it's going to be really tough to beat Oldman. That is the best part of this movie, is his performance. Now, this is directed by Joe Wright, who tends to be very lavish in his movies. He did the movie Pan, which is very lavish. He did Atonement and Pride and Prejudice, and he loves the look and the gorgeousness of life, and that's fine. He tones it back a little bit because he's showing a little bit more of a reserved version of Winston Churchill. And of course, I don't know a whole lot about Winston Churchill, just because I don't, but like what I see on the History Channel, people look at Winston Churchill in sort of like an Abraham Lincoln kind of perspective, or an FDR kind of perspective, but you forget that there was controversy around him and he had his political enemies. And it's interesting to see how things work. There's not a whole lot of action in this movie, though. That's the biggest part, is it's a lot of talking, and it reminds me a little bit of the King's Speech in that way. Ultimately, The Darkest Hour is a fine movie, and it's a very well-done movie. It's a movie, though, I think, honestly, if you take Darkest Hour and were to edit it into Dunkirk, you'd have one heck of a movie. One of my biggest problems with Dunkirk was there was no characters. There was no backdrop to it. It was just the action, which I know people say it's the purity of Nolan and everything. But this gives you this is like the other part of the movie, which is so important to know what the strategic position and the reasoning was in the Dunkirk rescue. So I really think you could have taken these two movies and edited them together and have a great film, but you kind of get half a movie with Dunkirk, and I wouldn't say you get half a movie with this one. This is more of a character study. But overall, Darkest Hours is a perfectly fine movie. I'm going to have to say it kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
That's it for the segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be interviewing Ron Shelton and talk about the weekly box office and give a little bit of look into the Home Cinema Roundup featuring Holiday Inn.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Entrepreneurs expect a solid finish to the year and are confident in the 2018 economy, according to the Fall 2017 Bank of America Small Business Owner Report. Nearly three-quarters of small business owners are optimistic their 2017 year-end revenue will surpass that of 2016. In addition, economic confidence also surged by more than 10% from last fall, as almost half of entrepreneurs expect the national economy to improve in 2018. However, growth plans remain flat from last fall, and plans to hire are down from last year. Sharon Miller, head of Small Business Bank of America.
With unemployment at record lows, business owners may be experiencing challenges in finding qualified candidates. This has led to a decline in hiring plans for the year ahead. Even with that challenge, the short-term future is very bright, as entrepreneurs are upbeat about the 2018 economy.
For more, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB. Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We could do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Stephen Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most,
Our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are ready to wrap up the show, but before we wrap up the show, let's talk to Ron Shelton, who's the director of Just Getting Started. And I know we reviewed the movie in the last segment, but here we got a little bit of insight into how he made the movie, how he cast the movie for a director who's kind of legendary. I mean, going all the way back to Bull Durham. But here's my conversation with Ron Shelton.
Okay, where did they get the name for your company, Fat Guys at the Movies?
Fat Guys at the Movies, it's the most honest name for a movie review show that you're ever going to hear.
Okay.
And it's also, it's very self-serving because no energy has to be expelled to continue using that name whatsoever.
I got it. All right. It's the perfect name.
The first thing I want to ask about this movie is, being that it takes place at Christmas, where does this fall in the Die Hard is a Christmas movie debate, and would you then characterize this as a Christmas film or something else?
I think of it as a Christmas movie, but I'm sure the distributors in the studio and all that, they don't think of it as a Christmas movie. But growing up in Southern California, Christmas to me was, you know, you play golf or baseball, you go swimming, you go to the beach, and music about it snowing is playing at the same time. This is normal.
I mean, obviously the movie's about senior citizens. I mean, it's a senior citizen movie. And I imagine you're hoping it'll do well in places like Miami and Phoenix and warm weather climates, which is where people of an extended age tend to congregate.
Yeah, I'm trying to say in the movie they don't go there to retire, they go there to party. But, yeah, that's our core audience and not Brooklyn.
I'm in my mid-40s, so I'm not yet looking at retirement homes. But did you base this on people that you know or retirement homes that you know or places that, like you say, people go to party but not retire?
You know, I didn't know much about the world. It was just kind of was winging it. And then when I wrote the first draft, my friends who I showed the script to, they said, you got to check this out. And sent me like all these links to these places in Florida, especially, that are like Peyton Place. I mean, they're wild. There's swingers, retirement swingers, and this and that. And I thought, well, I didn't go far enough. But, you know, the distributor wanted PG-13, not X. So, and since that, I've read about these things. There are places that are quite wild.
Let's talk about the actors. Now, some of them you've worked with before, obviously, you mean like Tommy Lee Jones and Rene Russo, but how did you go about assembling the cast, and where did you start? Did you start with the people you worked with before? Or?
Well, you start with finding the money. You always start with the money, and then you find who to make offers to. Somebody had suggested Morgan, and he wasn't in my head when I wrote it, but I thought, well, what a great idea, and I'd never met the man. And we made him an offer, and he liked the script a lot and agreed to do it. And then it's what's next. Well, who would be great opposite Morgan? And I thought Tommy was the great idea because I think Tommy's got a really wry, dry sense of humor. A lot of people don't. I think I proved I'm right. And Tommy said yes. I called Renee. And then so that's how it evolved. And when Morgan and Tommy turned out they wanted to work together but never had. So once I put them in the same room, I thought, oh, my God, I think they're golden together.
Did you allow the actors to have a little bit of leeway with it? Did you do any improvising? I mean, just getting seasoned actors like that together.
These aren't improvisers, none of these actors. They liked it on the page. At the same time, I'm a good listener. So, if they had an idea, I was open to it. If they showed up to shoot at 6 in the morning with an idea, obviously I'm open to it. But pretty much the script that we went in is the script that's on the screen.
This was Glenn Headley's last film, is that correct?
Sadly, we were shocked and stunned, and we'd all become very fond of her. It is still very sad. She there'd been a resurgence in her career. She had a series. She was a delight. She was having fun on this movie because she could laugh and play. And, you know, I got off a plane coming back from New York, and I had, you know, all these phone calls saying, you can't believe what happened. So, yeah, we haven't quite got over that yet.
You've done so many sports movies. And I mean, there's some golf in this, sure, but it's not a sports movie. Do you feel ever that you were tied too much to sports movies? Is it liberating doing something that's not sports?
The success of Bull Durham was a mixed blessing because now I get every sports script in the world, but I'm not tied to it. I did Dark Blue, was not a sports movie. Hollywood Homicide is not a sports movie. I've got the next one that's been announced, Escape Artist or Hacksaw Jones is not a sports movie. I go back to sports movies, but I'd say of the five or six scripts I have in various stages of development or financing, half are sports and half aren't. It's hard to get sports movies made because foreign finance is not interested in American sports.
Do you direct comedy different than you direct drama, even scene to scene?
No. You cast it well and never play it for laughs. I always tell the actors, because sometimes they'll say, this line is funny and I don't feel I'm making it funny. I said, don't make it funny, make it real. I don't care if there's a lot of laughs in this movie or if there's smiles or giggles or you're smiling at it 3 days later. I just want you to be engaged, to be fully engaged in the movie.
Is it tough type, like sort of like directing against type? Like there's the scene where Morgan Freeman gets pretty drunk, and that's not a situation you're used to seeing. The audiences like us are used to seeing him. He's so dignified in everything he does. Was that a daring thing for him, or was he game for that?
Oh, he loved it, and in fact, I extended the scene and added in the truck. What Morgan does is he brings dignity. Even as a drunk Santa trying to pick up on a woman at a bar he doesn't have a chance with, you know, I think that part of Morgan, who is got an elegance to him, comes through even when he's playing a drunken Santa of a kind of a rogue hustler in Witness Protection in Palm Springs, and there's still a dignity, if you know what I mean. And by the way, he plays a great drunk.
He does.
Doesn't he?
I'll do some research on that this weekend and find out how good the drinking is.
Good, me too.
All right, thank you so much, and best of luck with the film.
Thank you.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's take a look at the box office just really quick. Last week, it was kind of a weird week because there was nothing new. So Coco, of course, continued at number one, and it made less than $30 million, but that's not bad. I mean, it's total gross. It's well over $100 million. Justice League barely skipped under $200 million of its final for last week. By now, it's $200 million. It's over $200 million. Basically, a repeat of the previous week. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That sound means it's time to roll into the home cinema roundup. The spotlight this week is Holiday Inn, which is, some people consider it sort of like the what White Christmas was before they made White Christmas. And it is, kind of. It stars Bing Crosby, Fred Astaire, a former entertainer, buys a country inn, which he only opens for spectacular shows on federal holidays.
Holiday Inn. Never has there been such a show as this. From Easter to Christmas, from the 4th of July to Thanksgiving, there's a song for every holiday, and a holiday for every song.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
You'll be the grandest lady in the Easter parade.
The Holiday Inn is best known for where White Christmas came from, and the song White Christmas, which was then spun into White Christmas, which in a way is, like I said, it's kind of a remake of Holiday Inn, only you got Danny Kaye in that one. That one only takes place at Christmas. There's big differences between Holiday Inn and White Christmas, but there is a lot of connective tissue, part of it being Bing Crosby singing, and of course the Irving Berlin connection. The other reason Holiday Inn is best known for is it has this really uncomfortable minstrel show in the middle of it. For the song Abraham, which takes place on Abraham Lincoln's birthday, and you've got Bing Crosby in blackface. Really, I mean, it's horribly racist. We watch it as a family, and that section was so uncomfortable to watch. It was alarming. It was not something that was easy to watch. But, you know, that's part of the show. And I am not a fan of editing movies for modern-day audiences so we don't hurt people's feelings. I mean, was this stuff wrong? Minstrel Show, was that wrong? Yes, that stuff was horribly racist. And it's steeped in racism. But that doesn't mean that that movie should disappear. And I like the fact that Universal is releasing this unchanged. Well, they have the colorized version of it as well, which does change the movie because it was shot in black and white. And the colorized version looks, it looks colorized. It's sort of that muted pastel that you get from a colorized version. But you got to preserve the movie for what it was. And you also have to look at it and say, yes, it was racist, but it was an understandable racism at the time. It's sort of like I was listening to Alice's Restaurant on Thanksgiving, and they have the F word in there for, you know, the gay slur, which meant something very different back in the 60s when that was made. So, I mean, if you're going to re-perform it, yeah, change it. But the original, don't go at censoring the recording. And I give them credit for releasing this unedited, as uncomfortable as it is to watch. So, but still, Holiday Inn, it's a charming little movie. And it's neat to see, Fred Astaire's great in it. And it's neat to see where it eventually turned into White Christmas. So I'm going to say that Holiday Inn kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
The other movies that were releasing this week on DVD and Blu-ray include American Assassin, Despicable Me 3, and Twin Peaks, A Limited Series Events. And that is it. Next week, I'm going to be talking about this little independent film called Star Wars The Last Jedi, along with Ferdinand and The Shape of Water. Until then, have a fat time at the movies.
Franklin, he's thriving. I found his raw meat diet and Dinovite and Lico Chops on Dinovite.com.
Order a 90-day supply of Dinovite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a bottle of Lico Chops free.
New, improved Lico Chops with omega-6, omega-3, vitamin E.
And now 6 extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try Lico Chops
free this week at Dinovite.com.
Dinovite is nutrition.
Dinovite.com.
I started going cold turkey. Well, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it.
I do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my glove compartment.
My friend used to do it way too much. Now I turn it off when we're in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There are lots of ways to stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The President of the United States has your back 100%.
President Trump saying that's his message to all law enforcement officers in America as he spoke at the FBI Academy's graduation ceremony at Quantico, Virginia today, also discussing the need for immigration reform.
We want a system that puts the needs of American families, taxpayers, and security first.
Those who need health care coverage or who want to change their coverage have been rushing to sign up for Obamacare ahead of today's open enrollment deadline. Mark Mayfield has more.
More than 1 million people chose insurance through the Federal Healthcare Exchange last week. Some states that run their own exchanges have extended the enrollment period.
No extension for AOL's Instant Messenger, AIM as it's been called, is shutting down today after 20 years. This is USA Radio News.
Hey guys, this is Larry King. Are you sick and tired of prostate pills that don't work? I've got great news for you. I had prostate problems that were driving me nuts. I tried several different natural products. None of them worked. One day I heard about Prostagenics. It beat over 157 other prostate supplements in independent lab tests and was rated number one most powerful prostate supplement in the world. So I got some prostagenics, and boy, am I glad I did. Now my prostate troubles are a thing of the past. I sleep like a champ. I feel like I did 20 years ago. Do yourself a huge favor. Do what I did and get yourself some prostagenics.
Prostagenics sells for $49 in stores, but call right now because we're letting as many men as possible try prostagenics with our free bottle offer. So call 1-800-550-4512 right now. That's 1-800-550-4512. Call 1-800-550-4512.
House and Senate leaders are to unveil the details of the final tax cut bill before today is over. At the White House, President Trump says a final bill could get passed as soon as next week.
We'll see what happens, but I think we're doing very well. It's something that's going to be monumental.
He spoke while standing beside his Marine One helicopter preparing to leave for Quantico, Virginia a short time ago. A San Diego firefighter has died while battling that huge Thomas fire in Southern California. Jason Campadonia has more.
Cal Fire Chief Ken Pimlott says that apparatus engineer Corey Iverson died yesterday while battling the massive fire in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties.
He has been with Cal Fire since 2009.